The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 4a. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So we asked you as you came in this morning, what do you do to relax? And Ali is just shooting down the back so that she can tell me what you said.
Hello. Well, lots of sleeping and lots of reading. So let me read through some of these. We've got have a glass of wine. There's a bit of a theme going on. Just go to sleep, play on my phone, sleep, think ahead. That's a very practical one, isn't it? Meet friends, talk, eat food, drink wine and sleep. Veg out with Sky Sports. Excellent. Bake a cake and then force feed my family. I love that one. If someone wants to come and force feed me cake, I'd happily oblige. Sit outside with a glass of something, listen to music, walk the dog, lots of reading, a bit of painting, and watch Poldark. There you go. That's
lovely.
It.
Thank you very much. Excellent. So lots of different ways that people relax. We've come to the end of the creation story, as I said, and our final summer special service. I hope you've enjoyed them, but I hope that you've found things that have challenged you as well. We've had takeaway cards every week over the summer with things to go away and think about or things to do. And I'd love to know if you have actually taken any of those things away and done them or thought about things differently, if they've been helpful, or if they've just turned into bookmarks. If you've missed any, then we've got the whole set at the back in the pigeonholes. They're all there. There's one more to take away today. But if you've missed any of the others and you'd like to have a look, do help yourselves. We've seen over these weeks how God has had a plan for the world that means it continues to turn, that plants and animals can thrive and flourish and reproduce and be sustained. And we've also seen how God intended human beings to be a part of that plan, to look after the creation with a special role to care for the planet on which we live. Other animals, wild animals, pets, farm animals, they all have an important part to play in our ecosystem, but none of them have a responsibility to care for the environment in which they live. Only we have that responsibility. I wonder then what you've learnt over this summer, whether you've had a chance to think about things or do things a bit differently. Today, as we come to the conclusion of this story, the seventh day is just as important and as significant as all the others. On the seventh day, God had finished everything he wanted to do, and it tells us that he had a rest. I wonder how much we actually value our times of rest and refreshment. I think that possibly as we get older, it's something that we enjoy, but we don't make a priority. Children, how many of you have enjoyed your summer holiday? Who's enjoyed having time off school? Who is absolutely longing to get back to school? Just a few. Okay. I hope that if you've been on holiday over the last few weeks, whether you're a child or an adult, that you've come back refreshed and ready to launch back into whatever comes next. to face whatever your new season brings. I hope you haven't come back thinking, now I've had a family holiday, I need a holiday on my own. I've occasionally had that experience. But there are a few things to notice today. First of all, have you noticed that our days off are called holy days, holy days? So we have bank holy days. Have you ever thought about that? That thing on Monday where none of us went into work, almost none of us, that was a holy day set by the banks originally. These are special days when we take time to take a break from our normal activities, when we rest. And they're different, and that's why we call them holy days, because holy means set apart. Now, God's holy because he is completely different to us. He is set apart. He is not part of the created order. He made everything else that exists. And so he is holy and different. And then we hit a bit of a quandary because it says he made us in his image. And that's a huge theological question. If you want to face a really big theological question, then dig down into how come God is holy and set apart and not part of creation, and yet we are made in his image. What does that mean? Well, it's a mystery that people have written about for centuries, but I think that anything we have in common with God is a poor reflection of his perfection. And only part of us, because he chose to make us like that. He chose to do that. We can't make ourselves holy. Whatever we understand by that word, we can't do it for ourselves. We rely on Jesus and his cleansing and welcome for us that enables us to have anything to do with this holy, set-apart God. That's a bit of a digression. Getting back to this day of rest, what does it tell us about God? Well, it tells us that God was not in a hurry. He didn't rush creation, and he didn't turn his back as soon as it was finished. If you're like me, you might have a to-do list. And I love, almost more than anything else, crossing things off a to-do list. Sometimes I will add extra things into my to-do list when I've already done them, just so that I can cross them off, even though I hadn't thought of them to start with. But God didn't rush through what he had to do. He took his time to make things that were good, and he took time then to enjoy it, to reflect on what he'd done, and to rest. So God is not in a hurry. Secondly, God teaches us by example. One of the Ten Commandments that he gave his people was to keep the Sabbath day holy, to remember to have a day in the week that is different to the rest. Time to rest, time to be refreshed by God, to spend time with him, set apart, just as he did in this story of creation. So God wasn't in a hurry. He teaches us by example. And thirdly, I think that God wants us to realize that rest and inactivity is important and good in its own right. There's an awful push towards being self-sufficient and efficient and getting things done and cramming as much as you can into 24 hours. I wonder how often you've said, all I need is an extra day this week, or I just need another hour. We can be so focused on doing that we forget the importance of relaxing and enjoying what God has given us. So what can we learn? Sometimes we need to stop being in such a hurry. It would be good for us to slow down, to live in the moment. I wonder how many of you did that thing of praying with an apple that we suggested earlier in the summer, just taking time to eat an apple slowly, to think about it, to pray with it? Or were you too busy? We need to learn to live in the moment, to enjoy our lives, having time to reflect on the things that we're doing, and resting so that when we get back to work, we're ready to go for it again. We need to learn to follow God's example, in the example of Jesus, who took time out himself to rest and to spend time with his Father, being refreshed, even when everybody was pressing around him and wanted Jesus to come and speak and teach and heal. He took time to be away on his own. If we want to teach something to someone else, we need to lead by example. I had a quiet day this week. Actually, it was more like a quiet afternoon that was very long overdue. But the staff team have been encouraging me and Helen to take time out, to make sure that we are listening to God when everything else is very busy. Because otherwise, we're not going to be effective or helpful for anyone else. And we do have choices whether we want to acknowledge that or not. We might earn less or have less status with a less pressured job, but it's a choice that we make to do what we do. Let's make sure that our choices are governed more by what God is telling us than by what the society around us is telling us. We need to learn to manage our diaries, to actually prioritize time spent with friends and family, time on our own, time with God. Those are just as important as the demands other people would make on us. And there's nothing heroic about working ourselves into the ground. It's really tempting, isn't it, when someone asks how you are or how things are going, to say, "I've been so busy," as if that's a mark of honour, or as if it gives value to what we do. God has never said to me, "Oh, I'm so busy." I know that he's got the whole world in his hands, but he still has time for the things that matter to him. Now, thinking about how we can be refreshed as a church family, there are two notices that people asked me to give this week. And I thought, rather than give them as notices and add them to the list of things that we need to do, I would incorporate them into this talk. So there are two activities within our church family life where you might find rest and refreshment, where you might need to make a priority of taking that time to listen and to be with God. First one is one that's coming up this Saturday, and it's for the men in our church. It's the big breakfast on Saturday morning at the Bridge House Hotel at 8:15, and it's a chance to sit and listen to Pete Gregg, who grew up in St. Mary's a long time ago, and David, his brother, I don't know if David's here today, plays the organ for us. And Pete has spent his life listening to God and thinking a lot about prayer and encouraging other people to pray. So Pete's involved with the 24/7 prayer movement. He was instrumental in starting that. And he's written some books, which you might have come across, God on Mute, that talks about some of his own struggles in life and trying to hear God when life is busy. He's written Red Moon Rising, which was about the beginning of the 24/7 prayer movement and how that moved around the world, different places, and how they rediscovered things from history where people had been praying consistently together for revival and had seen God move in amazing ways. And then most recently, he's written Dirty Glory. If you haven't read Dirty Glory, you must read it. It is such an exciting book that shows how God is alive and active today. Now, men, you have the most amazing opportunity that's been organized for you to take just a couple of hours out on a Saturday morning to meet together, to enjoy breakfast, to be refreshed and relaxed and renewed, and to hear Pete speak. If you haven't already signed up, then Pete Chesterton is at the back today with his list, and you can get your name on the list, or you can go online. If you're here this morning, please don't think I'll go and do that online. If you're here this morning, then please see Pete Chesterton at the end of the service. Get your name on the list. If you know anyone else, any other men who don't have their name on that list and could do with some rest and refreshment and relaxation, then tell them to sign up online before Wednesday. Advert number one done. Now, the second thing, so all the women are sitting here thinking, that's not fair. I want to hear Pete Gregg. I'm sitting here thinking, that's not fair. I want to hear Pete Gregg. But for the women in our congregation, we have an ongoing way of being rested and refreshed and meeting with God. And that's through our Jigsaw group. And they have made a very short video for us to encourage us and to see what they get up to. So we're going to watch that now, I hope.
We are Jigsaw, a meeting place for women of all ages at St. Mary's. A place where we grow in faith and closeness to Jesus, and we do this by cracking open the Bible, praying together, doing life together, and taking our faith in Jesus out into our world. We meet Wednesday mornings, term time, mostly in small groups, and we also come together as Jigsaw United. Some of our groups have little ones and others don't. When we meet as united, we have a creche. This is what Jigsaw means to these women.
Jigsaw to me means love and friendship. Jigsaw to me is my church. Church on Sunday is about my family and about the children. And Wednesday Jigsaw is really church and fellowship for me.
Jigsaw to me is about fellowship. It's a good chance to meet all the other lovely ladies in the church and come together and worship God and learn more about him.
And we learn about God in a friendly and lovely environment where we can ask questions and nobody judges you. Get the best friends in the whole world that you know you can rely on for anything at all.
Well, I've got the privilege of being a small group leader, and I just love watching my group grow and being able to encourage each other in faith. It's brilliant.
Okay, so if you'd like to know more about Jigsaw, Rebecca is going to be at the back of church today, and she would love to tell you more and welcome you into that if you're a lady or a woman, whatever you want to call yourself. That's one of the ways that we can be refreshed and relaxed. Now, on the back of that, there's one more notice that I would love to give this morning. And it's a really important one about our life together on Sundays. We offer 3 Sundays every month. We offer children's groups in one form or another. Because it's really important that we learn these messages young about coming and spending time with God and relying on him and being refreshed by him. And so in order to run these groups, to do it well, which we want to do, we need leaders and helpers. And we are in a great position of having, at the moment, just about enough leaders for each of our groups. People who are committed to planning in the week ahead what's going to happen each Sunday. And we ask parents in these groups to go on the rota as helpers, because we need to have a certain proportion of adults to children to make sure that we are safe and that our children are looked after properly. We have still got quite a lot of holes in our rotas. We've got hundreds of children in the groups, but there are some parents who are unable to help for various reasons, or who are already helping in different groups and so can't be on another rota. If you are able to offer to help on one Sunday a month in one of those groups, we still have space, and it's a lovely place to serve and to allow others to be refreshed, to allow the parents to come into church and have time to meet with God. If we don't have enough helpers, we have 2 options on a Sunday morning. We either have to say to parents who weren't expecting to stay and help, I'm sorry, you can't leave your child unless you stay with them. And that means they've come hoping to hear a sermon or whatever, to join in with worship, and they've ended up having to stay in a children's group. Or we say, we're going to have to send the children back into church because we want to do this right. We want to have good cover. So can I just appeal to you, if you've been one of the people who's received an email saying, we've got some gaps, are you able to fill any? Please, could you respond to that? If you're not in that sort of age range, but you would love to serve by doing that on a Sunday morning, please come and speak to me afterwards or contact me this week, because it would be great to just boost our teams up a little bit. And there are enough of us to do this well. So I'm talking on one hand about taking your rest and refreshments, and on the other I'm talking about the balance of making sure others can do the same. And then the other thing, the last thing, is next week when you come into church, there will be rows of tables at the back with the children's registration forms on. Because again, we need to make sure we've got the right information about children, who they come with, who they need to go home with, if they have any allergies or special needs. Please, if you're able to come a little bit earlier next week, if you've got children in our groups, could you come a bit early? Could you pass the word around? Ask people to come a little bit early so that you can fill in your form and we can get as many done as possible before our services over the weeks in September. There we go. Right, so the final takeaway message today from this passage. Sabbath rest is a part of God's plan for us. However we take it, whichever day, whether it's a Wednesday or a Saturday morning or a Sunday afternoon, we ignore it at our peril. We need to be people who work from a place of rest if we can. Not the other way around. Not people who run ourselves into the ground and then collapse when we get to go on holiday and then have to wind ourselves back up again. God wants us to be rested people. And time out can and should be seen as holy time. Something to be valued and protected for ourselves and for those we love. God enjoyed creation. We can see that he looked and he said it's good. And we can enjoy our work and our life as well, if we know that we're doing it for God in his way and taking time.